The Volume.
It's Moneyline Monaco presented by FanDuel. The sports calendar is packed and there is no place better to get in on the action than FanDuel. So many sports to bet on. NBA, March Madness around the corner. You got the PGA Tour, hockey, and then some. The app is safe, secure, super easy to use. FanDuel has exclusive offers, boosts, and more all month long. When you win, you'll get paid fast. FanDuel has lots of ways to play. The spread, the money line, over-unders, team totals, player props, so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting. You can combine multiple bets from the same game in a same game parlay and try out same game parlay. Plus, just download the FanDuel app today to make every moment more. Disclaimer, 21 plus in select states, first online real money wager, only $10, deposit required, refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369 New York. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com. Kansas 1-877-770-STOP Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Maryland 1-800-522-4700 Wyoming or visit www.100gambler.net West Virginia. All right, welcome to another episode of Sports Gambling with Moneyline Monaco. I'm your host, Alex Monaco. We are live on Amazon Amp, the Volume Sports YouTube channel, wherever you get your pods. We have a special guest on, one of the sharpest minds in the college sports world, a huge, huge Action Network podcast called Big Bets on Campus. We are welcoming in the co-host of that pod, Mike Calabrese. Mike, also the head of U.S. content at OLBG. My man, great to be with you. I'm fired up to pick your expert brain here.
You're picking the right day to get me because Monday I was licking my wounds after just a rough weekend, the bad beats, the Gonzaga TCU game did not go my way. And I was a little down in the dumps, but now we got these eight great games to talk through on Thursday and Friday. So the energy's back up. I'm juiced up.
Ton of action, ton of riveting storylines here. A couple of great coaching matchups as well. I want to get just a general scope here. Again, we know and Action puts out unbelievable statistical data around any sport, but particularly this sport, just sensational work. And I found 40.5% of one seeds make the Final Four. Here we are, Mike, with Bama and only Houston left. Bama at minus 145 to win their part of the bracket. Houston minus 115. So the Midwest and the South, it's saying, at least on our home book at Volume FanDuel, a little bit of juice, but it could be worth the squeeze. Is that trappy? We're far past the value, but I just want to get your temp on the room with these two one seeds.
I mean, let's talk Bama off the jump. They're up against a top 15 KenPom defense. And how has it looked for them throughout the season when they face those teams? They beat Houston by six, which was nice. They lost to UConn by 15. They lost to Tennessee, who can't shoot worth a lick, by nine. And then they almost lose at home, winning by three against Arkansas. So when they face defenses that can slow you down and can make life difficult getting to the rim, Alabama has proven to be mortal. It's one of the reasons it was a stay away for me. Basically, the whole second half of the season, they were always floating in that 8 to 10 to 1 range to win the national title. It wasn't rich enough for me because I do think that you can throw the clamps on this Alabama offense. And then Brandon Miller comes in shooting 5 for 22 in this tournament. Not ideal, where he basically has to don the Superman cape for them to go all the way. So I actually think San Diego State is a live dog on Friday.
Wow. And I'm a San Diego born and raised Ron Burgundy citizen here. That's music to my ears, but I did want to get your thoughts. And there's a few matchups here, Florida Atlantic, Tennessee being another. We have a prolific offense versus unbelievable defense. And that is what Nate Oates versus Dutcher is going to be here in this State Bama matchup. I know it's a big line. When you, and you can talk about this matchup, but generally, when you're in a elimination game, Mike, and you have great offense versus great defense, how do you typically cap it? Where do you typically lean?
So I think it comes down to pace. And at this point in the tournament, the teams that play a little bit slower and want to play that half court methodical basketball, I think they have an opportunity to do it at a more successful rate in the tournament because you have so many reviews and TV timeouts, and it ends up becoming more of a grinder game in more cases than not. But I'm glad you brought up Brian Dutcher, because he's somebody who is a statistical darling when you look at his performance in his career. When he has 4+ days to prepare, he's cashed over 60% of his tickets against the spread. Since 2018, as an underdog, he's won 40% of those games outright, which is the top in the Mountain West, 27th nationally. So I think there's enough respect between insiders like us, but I think the national media is kind of sleeping on San Diego State. They're going to make life really difficult on the Crimson Tide.
Shout out Matt Bradley. All right, well, looking at now Houston, all right, so an interesting situation here in this Midwest. Could have a battle of Texas here very well in the Elite Eight. You have Xavier, you have Miami on the outside looking in as far as the futures. Miami really just took it to Trace Jackson Davis and Schifino. I mean, Wong, obviously ACC Player of the Year. Is that 7.5-point line, at least on FanDuel at the moment with Miami? To me, I'm leaning that number here. Again, Shed, Sasser, we're not talking about a 100% healthy Houston team. How are you looking at Houston both in this matchup and then on the longevity of the tournament?
This one's a pass for me just because of Sasser's groin injury. You know, if that flares up, which groin injuries are very difficult to play through, then all of a sudden I think they're dead in terms of trying to cover a 7.5-point spread against a Miami team that is so veteran in their backcourt. And Omir, who apparently was entering the tournament, you know, with an ankle injury, he's been as bouncy and as prolific on the glass as he's ever been. He's kind of that Dennis Rodman energy player for Miami. So I think in terms of the point spread, I also would lean with the Hurricanes. But the coaching element of this too, Kelvin Sampson, I think has proven through AAC play and his tournament runs in recent years that he is a great, you know, in-game coach in terms of those in-game adjustments. And for that reason, I still like them on the money line. I have a lot of strategies for the Sweet 16 where I'm tacking on some of these prohibitive money lines to parlays as sweeteners.
Yeah, well said. This Texas Xavier matchup, 4.5 is the line right now. Xavier getting 4.5. Sean Miller, of course, making noise. That first half they had in the second round, Mike, my goodness, when they are in transition, that seems to be their bread and butter. Now, Texas, of course, they got Carr, a couple of seniors and veteran guys to lean on, at least through the first two rounds. Is this where we'll see Texas without their main guy coaching, maybe exposed a little more than previous tournaments? I'm curious about the coaching matchup between Xavier and Texas. Where are you at on that?
I'm going full hook'em on this one. I think Texas is an absolute bandwagon at this point, and I'd like to hitch my wagon to them. Because the number one storyline in this game from a statistical standpoint, in my opinion, is Xavier's 150th in effective field goal percentage defense. I think Texas is going to run through him like a hot knife through butter. Dylan Dessou has taken this major step up where he was, you know, the sixth or seventh option offensively for them. He all of a sudden is coming off a 28-10 game, back-to-back double-doubles. They are so effective in the mid-range, and they're really great shot makers. They'll make difficult shots against a Xavier defense that's already given away open looks. So I lean towards the over here. I think the point spread is just about right. So if I'm going to play it, I'm going to go Texas money line with the over as a parlay.
Now, where are you with Texas versus Houston in the Elite Eight, if that's the matchup? Do you feel like if you're on Texas, the Longhorns right now, maybe worth a sprinkle on them to win a Final Four berth here?
I'm sitting on a 25-1 Texas national title ticket. They're my pick to win this tournament. And in general, I think they have a good matchup, particularly with Sasser banged up, because, you know, Houston in general has shown some lulls offensively. You saw what happened against a more athletic Memphis team in their last two meetings. I think Texas is going to be able to take advantage of that. But at this point in the tournament, to go Jimmy V style, it's survive in advance one game at a time. So you got to get by a Xavier team that, as you brought up, they can be lethal in transition and go on runs. So it's going to be important for Texas to get out of the Sweet 16 first.
If not the most prolific and interesting matchup as far as juggernauts in coaching here, I'm loving, well, you know, Few versus Cronin's just as good, but Musselman versus Hurley here, Mike, this line is appetizing at 4.5. We know Arkansas wasn't playing their best basketball win loss wise coming in. UConn, I don't want to say they underwhelmed in the Big East tournament. I cover the Big East tournament at MSG. I watched every game. It's fascinating to see who is left in the Big East with three teams and who isn't. But bringing it back to this coaching matchup and how well Sanogo's been playing in the first two rounds. I believe he's got 52 points in the first two games. And how well, I mean, led by Devontae Davis here with Arkansas. Again, they beat a Kansas team without Bill Self on the sideline. Where are you at with this matchup?
So how much can we expect from Devontae Davis, who he averaged 10 points per game coming into the tournament? He's already got 41 through two games. Because he's picking up the slack for Nick Smith Jr., who all of a sudden's disappeared. I think that's the biggest frustration as someone who played Arkansas on the money line to beat Kansas. Yes, it was great to cash that ticket, but I'm like, the guy scored, you know, 6 points in two games. I don't understand what Musselman's doing. There's obviously something going on behind the scenes. And then just in general, the profile on Arkansas, they got to be able to get their points in transition. They got to be able to get their points at the rim because they are 137th in shooting efficiency. That's not going to cut it against a really elite rebounding team from UConn. And then I was poking a few holes in UConn's resume coming off of the Big East tournament, namely that Jordan Hawkins needed to play better. Sure. He has. He's made seven triples through two games. He's shooting close to 50% from three in a year where he had this weird Wilson basketball phenomenon where teams are, you know, they're getting wedgies left and right. Overall, through the tournament, all these teams are shooting, you know, 30, 31% from the field, you know, from long range. And that's been a major step back from the regular season. So it's clearly impacting a lot of teams, not UConn. I think this is the end of the road for Musselman. I think he keeps his shirt on after this game and UConn punches their ticket to the Elite Eight.
Just playing devil's advocate here, Mike. I look at UConn, obviously the domination on the offensive glass is imminent. The shooting to me, Tristan Newton, Hawkins, Jackson, it seems to be, again, not a diehard Big East faithful here, but from my point of view, it seems to be a little streaky. If they aren't hitting their shots, is this a game you'd want to maybe live bet and adjust if you can get Arkansas at a better number than 4.5? Or where are you with just UConn shooting?
I'll take it in a slightly different direction. For me, from a live play perspective, I want to make sure that UConn isn't being sloppy with the basketball because that's going to trigger the transition game for Arkansas. And UConn enters in three of their last four games, they turned it over single digits. If they turn it over 15 or 16 times, Arkansas is live in this game for sure. But they've been so much better with the basketball. They've been disciplined in that way. And if you see the first 5 or 6 minutes that they're being overwhelmed with three-quarter court pressure and deflections and all these other things that Arkansas can bring to the table, then I think it may be an opportunity to either hedge out of your UConn position or maybe to double down on Arkansas to win outright.
Well said. All right, let's get to the main event here. The Bruins versus Gonzaga. This is a riveting matchup. Again, this feels a little bit like old school college ball, right? Where, you know, we're old enough to remember a little turnover. So, or not as much turnover, I should say. The fact that there's five UCLA Bruins that played in that Final Four against Gonzaga is amazing for the storyline. Now, UCLA comes in. Health is a huge concern. Amari Bailey stepped up, but then Singleton rolls his ankle. Where are you? It's now a 1.5 point line. So I was going to talk to you about line movement. We're not seeing a ton on the board this week since the lines were hung, but UCLA is now down to -122 on the money line, -1.5. This is a fascinating matchup here. So many ways to talk about it storyline wise, but what's jumping out to you as keys to the game here?
So I think there's a certain amount of a smoke screen being laid out on Singleton, which is like, oh, he's totally fine. It's like my eyes saw him roll his ankle in horrific fashion.
Horrific.
If he is not playing at a high level defensively, they're already down Jalen Clark, the defensive player of the year on the perimeter in the Pac-12. Then if you have another 6'4 guard who's, you know, has great length and can make it difficult to get out in the running game, if he's playing at 75%, I think that really bodes well for a Gonzaga team that needs to get out and run, score in transition. They've been able to do that, scoring, you know, 83 points per game through the tournament thus far. But the reason why it's just a slight lean for me on the Zags and not a strong play is it's difficult to bet against Jaime Jaquez right now. He needs to be playing his best basketball, and arguably he is in his entire career. He's efficient. He's taking on the offensive load. And because of that, I think that UCLA is going to be a really difficult out here. But you also throw onto the fire here, Bona is banged up. He re-aggravated an injury. If he can't play meaningful minutes either because of injury or he gets in foul trouble, I think Timmy could really eat. My play here, because of this, I'm talking myself one way, talking myself the other way. I'm going to go over the 145.5. I understand that UCLA has been able to slow down the pace in a lot of their games recently, but I think there's an opportunity on the UCLA side as well, because the Gonzaga transition defense stinks. And Tiger Campbell, I think, right, in the pick and roll game is going to be able to really facilitate a lot of offense. So I think this game's played in the high 70s, 80s, and it should be another instant classic.
Do you see this game coming down to any particular moment, one or two plays? Again, you watch these games at the end, and you can point out some noticeable flaws or mismanagement of a moment, or just a coaching mishap. We've seen it all the time in college basketball. Is there anything in this matchup in particular that one team could take advantage of another, or are we talking some of the more fundamentally sound clubs here with Few and Cronin at the helm?
Because of how impactful Timmy is for the Bulldogs, just keep a very close eye on him defensively if he gets into any foul trouble. They need him to score about 30 points in this game for them to win. I don't see a path forward for them if he doesn't play the majority of the game and is able to carry that offensive load. So some tight whistles early on could be really bad news for the Bulldogs. This is kind of, you know, logical advice in general when you're looking at teams if their star players go to the bench, but make sure to have a quick trigger in regards to Timmy if he picks up his second foul before, let's call it, the 4 minute mark of the first half.
Do you, as a bettor in this matchup, factor in, and this is where I get a little emotional, it gets me tripped up sometimes, I'm big on, you know, former NBA player going against his past team, you know, from a prop perspective, things of that nature, looking at the fact that, again, a Jalen Suggs, I mean, we remember where we were when that shot happened. How much does the fact that several of these guys, Jaime and Tiger specifically, were in that game, in that moment, on the losing side, factor in here, for better or for worse, just emotions wrapped up in this game?
I think the fact of the matter is both of these teams had veteran leadership and they came back for these moments. So I think the choke factor or the disappearing factor, not wanting to have the ball in their hands in crunch time, it's very low likelihood of that playing out. Whereas you've seen some teams in the tournament kind of, you know, fly, like Duke's a good example. They get to the round, yeah, of 32. They literally get punched in the mouth by Tennessee and they never recovered because they just didn't have that experience. They didn't know where they were headed and they end up in deep water. I see, you know, both of these teams very comfortable playing either a grinded out half court game or a high scoring game where every point is important down the stretch. I'm not worried about these teams shrinking in the spotlight.
Two games we didn't touch on, just any quick thoughts here. Princeton's at 9.5, and I'm looking at Florida Atlantic at 4.5. Again, that matchup's offense versus defense. This Princeton Creighton game, it's fascinating. No one had this on their bingo card, I would like to think, but of those two lines, any strong leans on one or another? I mean, we would assume Creighton and Tennessee would get past their opponents in this round, but any reason to back the Dogs?
I was flagging my, or I was, I should say, carrying my little Princeton pennant throughout the entire season. I like them to win the Ivy League. You know, they had to earn it down the stretch, and it really came into the tournament playing their best basketball. Awoma is such a fun player, you know, being a facilitator, that point forward kind of position. But let's just call it what it is. The upset of Arizona was bizarre. For an offense that was top five for the majority of the season to just absolutely shrink down the stretch, and just nobody wanted to shoot and they couldn't get it into their bigs. It was just very strange, and particularly against a defense that's 96th overall in KenPom's defensive rating.
Wow.
The second game, they knocked down 13 threes against a Missouri team that was really bad on the glass as well. And I think just 3-point variance carried them there. Yeah. This Creighton team is a steamroller right now. They are top 25 in KenPom O and D. They have Kalkbrenner in the middle. They have such better talent on the perimeter than Princeton has. But the number is you know, to such a degree that I just don't want to get backdoored in this spot. So what I'm going to do is take the minus 500 money line. You tag it on to any other play on Thursday and Friday, it takes a minus 110, makes it plus 135. I'm going to try to money manage my way to a better bankroll. So that's how I'm playing the Blue Jays and Tigers.
That's why we got you on right there for that insight. Hope the pads and pens were out. All right, just talking out real quick, then I'll get one last thought on a futures perspective here. Creighton at plus 950, Mike. Again, you mentioned Kalkbrenner, Nembhard. Both of them have gone for 30-plus in the first two games, respectively. We know this team is ridiculously balanced between their starting five. From what I hear from the experts, depth is potentially an issue with this team. If San Diego State pulls off a Christmas with the Cranks miracle here and Bama gets bounced, sell me on maybe 950, not almost 10-1 here on Creighton winning this tournament. Is there a world where that could happen?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm also in this place where I'm holding back a wry smile because I got them at 35-1 to win the national title.
So you're sitting on Creighton and Texas 30 and 35-1?
Well, Creighton at 35-1, Texas at 25-1. Just in general, this Creighton team, to me, always had the goods, but they needed to put it together. And the Big East, you know, they can chew up and spit out some really good teams. You even saw it with UConn getting bounced in the Big East tournament. So I think the market was a little too low on them headed in, and they've absolutely shown what they mean. They dominated NC State on the defensive end, held them to 63 points, got Burns in foul trouble, got him on the bench for the majority of the second half. And then what you saw of them against Baylor, weak interior defense, they attacked, scored in the mid-80s. So I think this is a gift, obviously, playing Princeton here in the Sweet 16. But whether they face Alabama or San Diego State, I think there's a good chance that they're going to win that game as well. Because when you look at what they did in the non-conference schedule, they go to Maui, they beat Arkansas, who, you know, from an athletic standpoint at that point in the year, that just proved that they could win a high-scoring game against a team that arguably had more athleticism. And then they almost upset Arizona in the next game. So I think their ceiling is absolutely national title caliber. And I'm going to wait to hedge until actually the Final Four if they can get that deep.
I love it. All right. Well, you're sitting on two retirement Del Boca Vista tickets over there, my friend. But to get you out of here, for those that are trying to read and react, I am sitting on a UCLA humble 12-1. But aside from that, and they're at 850, Bama, Houston, UCLA, UConn, Creighton, Texas. Mike, two of the six that you have are in the top six to win this from a futures perspective. If you didn't have one and you were looking to, you know, put a little breakfast money on, as I like to say, you can give me more than one team, too. Give me two. Who do you like? Maybe not as a easy pick, a non-Bama, non-Houston type angle. And I know you're not going there, but I just wanted to throw that out there. Something that could be fun that could get a little ROI steak dinner for us if we cash.
You know, from a winning the region perspective, let's talk about FAU. It's the one game that we didn't get into here.
True.
Tennessee, in terms of the recency bias, you know, they were leaking oil coming into the tournament. They don't have Ziegler at point, so their offense has serious limitations. They bully Duke, and all of a sudden everyone's like, well, Tennessee is the prohibitive favorite here. They should be laying 6, 6.5. They're absolutely going to run away from the Owls. I don't see it, particularly because the Owls are not some plucky mid-major who, you know, they need to make 15 threes to beat you. They're top 40, they're top 40 in KenPom O and D. And also, in terms of the new age stats, Evan Maya puts together the kill shot statistic, which are runs of 10-0 or better. They're the best team remaining in the field. So I think there's a decent shot that they upset a Tennessee team that, when you look at how they play down the stretch, 5-4 straight up, 4-6 against the spread in their last 10 games when they were favored by 4 points or more, they're just not a great favorite to play. And anyone who went the contrarian side against Duke, good for you, but it's time to switch that around here in the Sweet 16. I think FAU is live to win in an upset. And then if they do, they're either catching a K-State team or a Michigan State team that, in my opinion, that late in the tournament, that's as good as you're going to get in terms of an Elite Eight opponent to be able to punch a ticket to the Final Four. So I think FAU is a serious value to go to the Final Four.
That is a very interesting sales pitch. I think I might chew on that. Now, we didn't touch on it, but I do want to get your quick thoughts. It's a heck of a sharp line, as you said before we hopped on. K-State versus Michigan State, battle of some New York City point guards, and of course, a very, very riveting Marquise Knoll versus Tyson Walker. But again, Izzo does what he always does in March. K-State really impressed on the closeout of that game against Kentucky. Do you think, I know you just gave me FAU, but do you think there is a world where the winner of that game could easily represent this East in the Final Four?
I do think so. K-State, I mentioned it with Timmy with you know, the Bulldogs in terms of early foul trouble. All the attention's going to the point guard for K-State right now, but Keontae Johnson, the transfer, has played some of his best basketball against the most difficult teams on their schedule. Their games against Texas, their games against Kansas, he really showed up and gave them 20-plus points per game in those contests. They need him to be carrying at least half of this offensive load. So if he goes to the bench early, that's a pull the ripcord on any K-State money you have out in the market. because I think they could get boat raced by, obviously, the greatest tournament coach of all time, Izzo, entering with 54 tournament wins, which is just absurd. So from a game planning perspective, he has the better shooting team, and I think he has a clear advantage from the coaching ranks as well. So just something to keep an eye on, Keyonte Johnson, foul trouble early.
There it is. Mike Calabrese, chock full of gold. Appreciate you. Make sure to throw him a follow. Check him out. College expert at Action, co-host of the Big Bets on Campus Pod, and head of U.S. content at OOBG. Mike, thank you so much for the insight. Mazel on these futures, man. You do great work. You deserve to cash one of them. I'm gonna find a best time to try to tail one of those two, because I think you're onto something. And I love the sweatshirt, man. Thank you so much.
If you want, there's always room on the Owl bandwagon. FAU is still punching tickets. If you
I don't hate it. This class 70. You sold me. All right. Till next time, Mike. Thanks, man.
Take care.
The tournament is heating up, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/Monaco and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net. You already know I'm on Mick Cronin's Bruins, baby. You can still get them at plus 850 to cut down the nets. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/Monaco to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Disclaimer. 21 plus in select states. First online real money wager, only $10. Deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Call 1-877-8-HOPE, New York, or text HOPE, New York, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT STEP to 53342, Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com. Kansas 1-877-770 stop. Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Maryland 1-800-522-4700. Wyoming, or visit www.100gambler.net. West Virginia.
The volume.